Bună dimineață! I'll try it again. Bună dimineață! I know a few of you have been to Moldova, so I was expecting at least a little response there. That's good morning in Romanian. I'm not going to try out all of my Romanian on you because I don't know very much. And there are people here who know Romanian, so I will be careful with that. I bring you greetings from Pastor Slavik and Donku Baptist Church. Pastor Chris already read that wonderful thank you that he sent. But one of their traditions at the beginning of each service is they bring greetings from other churches, people who are visiting. And he wanted to make sure that we brought you greetings from Donku Baptist. And specifically told me to thank Pastor Chris and all of Meadowbrook Baptist for all of your support. So I'm going to double up on what Chris already did. I do want to thank the church for all of your support, all of your love, all of the things that you did to encourage us as we got ready to go, and all that you did while we were there. And you'll hear more about that as I share this morning. Now, taking a year and a half of serving on the ground and trying to put it into 25 minutes is a little bit challenging, but I hope we hit some highlights and give you a flavor of what life was like there, but most of all that you see the work that you were a part of. And the number one thing that you should take away today is that we should celebrate our great God and His faithfulness. And so we'll do that together this morning. Shannon and I really, realized being 6,500 miles from here, or almost 6,000 miles, how much we love Meadowbrook Baptist. We already knew we loved Meadowbrook Baptist. But you get overseas 6,000 miles away, and this is a true story. We would, many Sundays, we would drive down to Donku, have a wonderful morning of worship, and it's different there. They have about 60 members, and the kids come up on stage to ask mom a question in the choir or whatever. Some of you have been there. Even if you're preaching there, that may happen, so you just sort of learn to live with that. But it's a different type of worship. It's so sweet. Their fellowship is so wonderful. But we would drive back from Donku and get back to our apartment, and we would literally be watching the clock, waiting for Pete to hurry up and get the video out from the morning service. And we would be able to watch you all at 8 o'clock at night in Chișinău, Moldova. I want to thank Pastor Chris. He's been very supportive through our entire journey as we prayed about going, as we left and we went. But really, I want to thank him for a different reason. I want to thank Chris for always preaching the truth of God's Word. That's so important today to all of us as believers. And to come out of this crazy world sometimes that we live in, the chaos and the uncertainty, and to hear the truth of God's Word preached, it's so priceless for us to have that. And so we thank you, Chris, for doing that. I also want to thank David Vaughn, our worship leader, for putting so much effort into these worship services and planning them out, watching them and participating in them, you know that some effort went into it. And so we thank David for that. Now that I started singing in the choir some, I realized there's even more effort than I thought was going on. he works you very hard, let me just say that. But it's all because he wants to praise God with all that we do, with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, all of our mind, and so that's our goal today. We want to celebrate God's faithfulness. Well, I've let you relax for just a minute. Now I would ask you to join me standing for the reading of God's Word, Psalm 100. As I pondered what to share and what scripture to use, God kept bringing me back to this psalm. Psalm 100, a psalm for giving thanks. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Would you join me in prayer? Father, you are so faithful to us. We come into this place today praising you, singing your praises, looking to you, Father, seeking you, desiring to take all that we've experienced all this week and the beauty of your creation and the things that have happened during the week that made us stop and think of you. We come and we pour all that out before you, Father. You alone are worthy of our praise. And as we spend just a few minutes reflecting on all that you have done and all that you're doing in Moldova, we pray that ultimately it's all about you, Father. And so today we celebrate your faithfulness in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, just over 5 years ago, Shannon and I would have never imagined living in Moldova. We'd have told you you were a nut job if you had told us we were going to be living in Moldova, quite frankly. We made our first trip there in 2015, and this was also the first time we had gone officially as a church. So that was quite an interesting trip, and we were able to be joined by Pastor Chris. Also, Tamara Moser went on that first trip, and you know what? This was Shannon's first time to ever travel outside of the United States. And so I told her, I said, honey, we've got the greatest place to go and experience. We're going to Moldova. And she's like, well, where is Moldova? Well, I say that really to tell you, if you're not already familiar, it's been in the news a lot, but 60% of Moldova's border, the entire eastern and northern part of Moldova and some of the southern, touches Ukraine. So that's where Moldova is. It's right up against Ukraine, right above the northwest corner of the Black Sea. Well, the trip was memorable to say the least. We arrived in Chișinău, Moldova, and guess whose luggage did not make it? Shannon's. And Pastor Chris's. I remember that well. There were a few other challenges as the trip got underway, and I'm thinking to myself, she is never going to listen to me again, and she's never coming back to Moldova. I really thought that she might not want to come back. But some 9 days later, as we took off from the Chișinău airport and got up into the air, we were just chatting about things. We had only been up in the air 5 minutes, and she was telling me something, remembering something about our trip, and said, when we go back to Moldova the next time. And I remember just the emotion that washed over me, because I'm like, yes, she's gotten the Moldova itch inside of her. So we went back in 2017, 18, and 19. And after that 2019 trip, we began discussing what else we might feel like we were being called to do. The possibility of going and staying for a longer period of time. We thought, well, maybe we could stay for a couple of weeks. We even said maybe we could stay for a month. We thought that would be a big sacrifice on our part. But this was us deciding what we wanted to do, what we were willing to do, and then asking God to bless it. In 2020 and again in 2021, you know all about those 2 years. I won't go over that. We hosted different missionaries in our home, though, during those 2 years, during events much like this one this week. So we had different IMB folks in our home 2 years in a row. We would have these conversations, just sitting around talking, and inevitably it led to, well, you guys should come here and serve for a couple of years, or you should go check this out. Now, we didn't decide to go where they were, but it got us thinking. It started opening our minds to the possibilities, the way God often works. We began praying and seeking after God's will for our lives, but in a different way. Instead of deciding what we were willing to do and offering that to God, we began praying for Him to show us, and then we'd be willing to obey. Now, I would be lying if I didn't tell you that's a scary place to be. It caused you to really lean on God in a very significant way. But then an unexpected opportunity occurred for us to go to Moldova. We had canceled 2 trips in a row trying to take some of our youth over to Moldova, but because of COVID had to cancel. And we were asked by Pastor Slavik to come and provide an evangelism and discipleship type training program to the pastors in that region where Don Ku is. About 30 pastors. And so we went there And we did this for 3 days, training for 3 days, followed by 3 days of going out into villages where there was no known presence of the gospel, where we don't think the gospel had ever been. And it was an amazing time. We enjoyed great times of fellowship, of prayer, and many people praying to receive Christ. Our team was Shannon, myself, Tamara, again, was with us. Matter of fact, she's been on every trip we've ever made. And our missions pastor at the time, Kevin Bolin. We were joined on this trip by two gentlemen from IMB who met up with us in Chisinau and joined us in doing this. One of these was Jason Bishop, who was here at this GIC in 2021, the guy with the big beard and rode around on motorcycle some. You may have met Jason. He is responsible for the missionaries, all the missionaries in Eastern Europe. Well, he's been living in Europe for many years. We had met him at the 2021 Shades Mountain GIC, and Jason had told us people in Eastern Europe are pretty closed off to the gospel. They're not very open. They're not very receptive. This was his experience. It had been his experience for years because of their strong Orthodox culture and background. They just probably wouldn't be very open. So he was amazed by the work that God was doing. What he saw in person as he participated with us, when we got back, he said, "I was not expecting that." This was in the airport before we left Chisinau. He said, "Guys, I didn't expect to see all this happen. I was blown away by it." He told us that he really felt the Holy Spirit prompting him at that moment, the last day before we fly out, "We need to get missionaries back in Moldova. There had been no IMB presence there since 2013. So as we traveled back to Birmingham, Shannon and I began to discuss all that God had done and pray about what role he wanted us to fill going forward. Well, we felt a very clear sense of God's calling that we should go and help a new missionary family that would be called to serve in Moldova. We had lots of contacts, lots of relationships, some understanding of the culture, tiny bit of language. We assumed it would take several months, and really, honestly, we thought it would take them 1 or 2 years to identify the right couple, the right family, and get them over to Moldova. So we're flying home thinking we're committing to something pretty far out in the future. Well, we continue to pray daily, and after we've been back in Birmingham for 4 whole days, and if you've ever gone that far and come back, takes about a day for every hour time difference for you to even get back with some sanity to you. And that's an 8-hour time difference. So 4 days in, we're still a little blurry about the whole thing, but we feel God's calling. We contact Jason and we set up a Zoom call with him and we said, "Jason, we really feel God calling us to this. We think that we should go and help someone get started in Moldova." Well, the whole time we're talking, Jason is smiling ear to ear. It's like he wasn't even listening to what we were saying. He's just grinning. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, there's something to what he's grinning about. He then let us know, get this, the day after he left Moldova and returned to his home in Europe, a pastor friend of his from Kentucky called to let him know that there was a family in his church that had been trying to get on the field for several years. They had run into different issues in trying to leave and go on the field. One of them had a bad illness in 2019, and then COVID happened in 2020 and 2021, and they just felt like maybe God didn't really intend for them to go after all. But now they were ready to go. This pastor asked Jason, "Jason, they feel this sense of wanting to go somewhere in Eastern Europe. Do you know anywhere they could serve?" This is the day after Jason got back to his home. So Jason said that, matter of fact, I do. And he told the pastor, and the pastor got this family on the phone with them on Zoom. This all happened the same day. Jason outlines for the Meredith family the opportunity in Moldova. They all prayed together. And on the same call, the Meredith said, "We sense God calling us to go to Moldova." Now, Ryan told me, he told Shannon and I the other day, he literally had to get the map out after they had already committed to go and serve to find out where Moldova was. He didn't know exactly where it was. So God answered our prayers in a way we never could have imagined. What we thought would take at least 1 to 2 years took God one day. It was our great pleasure to serve on a team with the Meredith family for the past 18 months. And here you see them. They're a wonderful young family. Ryan, Jenny, Zoe's the oldest, Evie, and Cash. Just a wonderful family. Well, this family felt God's calling to go, but they didn't really know where. You just heard me explain that. Still, they sold their home, left their jobs, took their kids out of school, and knew they were leaving their families for at least 3 years. I'm reminded of God's calling to Abraham found in Genesis 12, verse 1, where the Lord had said to Abraham, or Abram at that time, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." He didn't know where he was going. He just knew God was calling him to go. We celebrate God's faithfulness today. And you know what? God additionally blessed us in an unexpected way as we made our plans to move to Moldova. Once we told people we were called to go to Moldova and we were going to go, several people here in this church came up to us and said, "Do y'all know Ross and Brenda Robinson at Valleydale Church? We hear they're going to serve in Moldova as well." Ross had recently retired as missions pastor here at Valleydale. He had been going to Moldova for 30 years. He had me beat by 15 years. And we had the opportunity to meet with them twice before we left to go. And over the last couple of years, we've spent wonderful times in ministry together, fellowship, served in or participated in a Bible study with the Meredith on Wednesdays. We're very glad that Ross and Brenda could be with us this morning. They're sitting out here with Shannon. The second thing I want to talk about for just a few minutes is his provision. God provided for our every need, every step of the way. We had many logistical things we had to do as we prepared to be gone from home for an extended period of time. I think I knew it was going to be a lot, but it was a lot more than I gave it credit for. We sold both of our cars. Everybody said, you can't just park a car in the garage for 2 years. We installed lots of Ring cameras. I got really good at that if you need any help. Worked on automating bills and forwarding our mail and all that kind of good stuff. I was still fairly old school. Okay, very old school. And so that was all new for me. It took a lot of time and effort. So this was somewhat traumatic for me, just to be honest with you. But it was nothing compared to the trauma that Shannon experienced when she found out that Amazon does not deliver to Moldova. I'm not even going to comment further on that because I'll get myself in trouble. And when we got to Moldova, we needed to secure a place to live, to buy a car, apply for a visa, learn where to shop, how to drive on their streets, especially in the crazy roundabouts over there, try to learn a new language. But God delivered what we needed over and over again. Just every time, perfect timing, everything that we needed. By the way, I do want to stop here and assure you that IMB does a great job of helping our full-time missionaries get on the field and then take care of them while they're on the field. Families like the Merediths, I mean, they sell everything. It's just like they pack up a bunch of bags, put some stuff in storage, and off they go. So IMB does a good job of helping them get settled, taking care of them. They also do a really good job, a great job, of monitoring and awareness regarding any security concerns. Now, we never felt overly threatened in Moldova. We did have a few times where IMB security would notify us of certain things that we chose not to tell everybody, Stephanie, because we didn't really want to alarm people and scare people to death. That may have been for Jared's benefit as much as Stephanie's, but they do a good job of keeping you notified. As team associates, which we were, you are provided with security updates, and we would have been even evacuated if necessary, but thank the good Lord that was not. I do remember one conversation right before we left to go to Moldova we had with Jason and his wife Karen. Jason was telling us we would have those services if we need them, and Shannon said, we won't need that. Nothing ever happens in Moldova. That was before the war broke out. We applied to join IMB as team associates in early September 2021. In October 2021, we made the decision that we would move in early March 2022. And there was nothing magical about that date. But we knew the Merediths were going to go through their training January through March, and they would be there by sometime in April. So our goal was to get over to Moldova, get settled in, be settled down, and be ready to welcome them in. That was a great plan. We booked tickets in October 2021 for a flight leaving Birmingham on March 7th, 2022. And then on February 24th, 2 weeks before our departure date, Russia invaded Ukraine. We began to pray and ask God for direction. Should we wait and just see what happens? Just sort of pause and wait before moving to Moldova. After all, most people thought Russia would conquer Ukraine very quickly and come right on through Moldova. That was the prevailing thought. But the more we prayed about it, the more assurance we had that we should move forward with our plans. It's really hard to even describe because it didn't make a lot of sense in a way, logically. But we felt this just confident hope that God would be with us. So we prayed prayers like this. God, if you don't want us to go, stop us. Put some kind of sign. Make something happen. Make it clear to us that you don't want us to go. But we went on. And the Chisinau Airport, for security reasons, had been closed. We had to fly into Bucharest and be driven 7 hours up to Moldova. And as we crossed the border from Romania into Moldova, we were greeted there by Pastor Slavic, Pastor Dimitru, and others from Donku Baptist Church. And at this border crossing that we drove through, going from Romania into Moldova, there near Leoshin was a small tent provided by Donku Baptist Church to assist those fleeing from the war. Many of you probably have bigger tailgating tents than this. Here it is. And I know it's not the greatest picture, but it's the angle, and it gave you the best idea of the size of this little pop-up tent. The kiosk things back in the background are where you buy insurance if you're driving into Romania. I still don't understand that to this day, but that's all those are. So here's this little border tent. The village of Donku, the church that we partner with, is about 3 miles from this point where you see this picture. And the church was providing hot beverages, food that they had cooked, and other necessities like diapers and just all kinds of. Imagine having to flee your home on a moment's notice and throwing some things in the car and driving off. That's, many people had one bag of belongings. The tent was supported by volunteers from the church around the clock, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This church has 60 members. For several weeks, they did this. There were thousands, literally thousands of people that came through this particular crossing, and the church members were able to pray for them and many times share the gospel with them as well. The Ukrainian refugees many times said things. We got to serve there numerous times, and they would say things like, "We're amazed that you're doing this for us." They were very taken aback that somebody would go to all that effort to show the love of Christ to them. Now, it's important, too. That's right at the point on the border between Moldova and Romania. Understand this. Every former Soviet country, which would be Moldova and Ukraine, all spoke Russian. As soon as you pass into Romania, it was not a former Soviet bloc country. They only speak Romanian. So there's a language barrier once people would flee out of Moldova and make it to Romania. We were even told, Pastor Marone with the Baptist Union, that Ross works with a lot. The Baptist Union of Moldova sent pastors into Romania so they could translate worship services for people that had fled and ended up in Romania. Now, I've got a picture here of, this is one of the better ones we had as we came in that evening. And if you could see past the last car and bus there, it would just go on forever. They were coming by the bus loads, by the car loads. It was really an amazing experience to be there. And then the next picture shows you a sign on the side of the tent in both Ukrainian and Russian telling these refugees, "We are praying for you." I thought that was a fitting tribute to the Donku Baptist Church Remember, now our church, Meadowbrook, you guys helped them purchase Bibles to distribute. Shannon and I were able to go with them several times in March and April and buy food and supplies. The Moldova Ministry Fund that our church had set up before we left was fantastic, because as soon as, I mean, we literally were still trying to just drive in to Chisinau and we're already able to help. So thank you, Pastor. Thank you, church, for setting that up and allowing us to do that. We also helped Donku Baptist house and feed refugees at their community center during the first several months of the war. And Pastor Slavik, again, wants me to assure you of his thanks. There were many other opportunities to help. Your generosity helped to send teens to church camps, support various service projects, purchase food to distribute food packets, purchase Bibles, and support various other outreach events. He read one about the Will Graham Association event. You'll see some pictures next here of teens at church camp. You paid to send these teens to church camp. Many of them made a profession of faith during that week. We praise the Lord for that. And then you'll see pictures of folks. These are folks that attended the Will Graham event. These are the folks from Laotian and Donku. Camera's in the middle of that picture. You can't quite see all of those right there in the middle, maybe. And then the next one shows the people that came from Ketroshin. That's another deacon of Donku, Sasha, in the front right there. As the refugee crisis subsided, we were able to get out and do a little bit more in terms of making home visits, etc. I'm going to move through these pictures quickly, but you'll see some pictures of us visiting in homes. You might recognize Phil Goodwin there praying with a lady. The next picture, Pete, is Brother Andre sharing the gospel with a lady there in her home. Here we are, David Splong, Kevin Boland, Ryan over there to the right, visiting with a family. And one more, I think. There's our family, along with Uncle Boris, preparing food packets to go out and deliver. I see Ella Grace and Bradley there. And then also, a couple of last pictures. We actually had the opportunity. This is sort of unheard of. We were invited and got to go into, this is the mayor's office, and we were asked to come in and share a word with them and to pray with them. And then the next one is the police station. I got the chance and the privilege to pray over these policemen and share a word of testimony with them. That's just not the norm. So we thank God and praise Him for His faithfulness. The last thing I want to share today, because there's so many stories, as I said at the start, that we could share. And you may remember this one a little bit from our newsletter. One of our partnerships is with Bethany Baptist Church in Chisinau. And this church is located right near a main train station. They've had people there since the beginning of the war. One of our national partners, the Fortuna family, are members there. This church has kept a record of every person that spent at least one night there. They've had over 7,000 people spend at least one night at their church. They've used their Sunday school classes for dormitories. We even had to use the sanctuary. There was Ryan and I. My training on duvet stuffing came in handy. There were many opportunities to spend times in fellowship there, to share meals, to share the gospel. But one in particular was Albina. We called her Allison in our newsletter. She was a young 23-year-old, excuse me, from a very small village just outside of Mykolaiv, Ukraine. She, her brother, and her aunt had escaped from the war, but Albina was also seeking treatment for cancer. She had a very severe form of cancer. She had gotten a little bit of treatment there in Ukraine, but it's very difficult to be treated there. The corruption is horrible. They expect bribes, especially for oncology services. They know they've got you, and so it's just unbelievable. She had been accepted for surgery in Cologne, Germany, but had no way to get there. Her mom took a second and third job, was getting up at 5 a.m., working and going to bed at 10 p.m., getting up again the next day to pay to get Albina from outside Mykolaiv just over to Chisinau. We spent time with them. We were asked if we knew of anybody that might help Albina make it to Germany where she could get needed medical treatment. And Shannon and I quickly said, yeah, I think we know somebody that can help you, Meadowbrook Baptist Church. We spent time with this family, learned much more about the situation. I'm going to fast forward through this a little bit and tell you a couple of things, and then we'll wrap up. We took them out for dinner one night. I just want to give you a flavor of like what kind of things we experienced. We noticed they seemed a little uncomfortable. We couldn't quite figure out why. But we found out through our translator that they had never been to a restaurant before in their life. They'd never ordered from a menu. They'd never been waited on by someone. They did not know and did not understand. After we went with Albina to buy her a plane ticket, we found out she'd never flown before. And so we got her a plane ticket. We got her a bus ticket because we flew her to Dusseldorf, Germany, but she needed to get to Cologne, Germany, to the hospital. We got her there. And then we were like, well, we don't want to just send her and wish her well. We had shared the gospel many times. She had not yet come to Christ, but she seemed open. And so we prayed and we told the Meredith about our dilemma. And the Meredith said, well, we went through training at IMB in Virginia just a while back with a family that got sent to Dusseldorf, Germany. They got in touch with that family who got in touch with a guy that they knew in Cologne, Germany, Victor. And Victor connected with us, and we began to have him reach out to Albina and her family. I'm going to go to the punchline here for the sake of time. Victor checked on her regularly, assisted with various needs, continued to share with her. But in early March of this year, we received word that Albina had passed away. Her condition was very serious. She left a husband back in Ukraine, serving in the military as a minesweeper. So, needless to say, Shannon and I were very saddened by this news, especially knowing that she had not accepted Christ, or at least that's what we assumed. On Friday, March 17th, Shannon prompted me to send Victor a note just to be sure that he knew. Victor, let's just say Victor's strong suit was not communication. And so I sent him a message, said, hey, Victor, we just want to make sure you've heard this. This is what I got back from Victor. Hello. Yes, I know that. I conducted the funeral last week. We are in contact with family. Albina converted to Jesus 5 weeks ago. Thank you for your help and your prayers. God has used so many people in Albina for Jesus. We provide Albina's family with products every week. Now, I didn't even know that her mother had made it to Cologne, but he finishes by saying, Albina's mother, Tatiana, and her friend, Olga, have also decided for Jesus. So we praise God that for his faithfulness. What we thought was a sad ending was actually a greater than we ever could have imagined. And so today, I want to ask you, have you decided for Jesus? I think the way Victor closed that was perfect. He said they decided for Jesus. You know, we have to decide for Jesus every day, don't we? If you're a believer here today, maybe God's calling you to something greater. I'm just going to point you to what David said earlier. It was beautiful. But if you don't know this Jesus, if you've never prayed to accept him into your heart, perhaps today is the day for you to make this decision. The Bible tells us that God loves us so much that he sent his only son into the world to die for our sins. Something we couldn't do ourselves. He went to the cross knowing what he was facing, but he did it because he loves us that much. If we repent of our sin, if we accept Jesus into our hearts, we will be saved. We'll receive eternal life. Or as they say in Moldova, Viața Veșnică. One of my favorite things about sharing the gospel in Moldova is that we were giving people hope. Of course, that's true here and everywhere else as well. When we hold out the gospel, we hold out hope. Do you have this hope today? Have you decided for Jesus? Listen, becoming a follower doesn't mean that life is going to be easy. But it does assure us of an indescribable joy and peace in our lives. And you too can know this joy and peace today. Decide for Jesus today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. I thank you for all that you've done in Moldova and all that you're doing now. I lift up the Merediths and others that are serving faithfully there, all the pastors there. Father, bless their efforts. And Father, bless us this week as we think of all of the places where we're involved and engaged in your work locally, nationally, and internationally. Father, if there's one here today that doesn't know you, may the day be the day that they decide for Jesus. In Christ's name, amen.